recorded live.
Wine out, wine out. I don't think I'll ever get tired of listening to that music. Wine
out. I know, right?
I love it.
We need to turn it into a ring.
I mean, it's worth getting on early just to hear that.
That's good.
Yes, that's yes, good. Yes. Well, we're back. We're back. I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. It's going to be a little hard to top last week. Last week was off the game. We did make one change to the title of the call. Married Men Don't Talk Talk Show from Head of Household. We're going to promote that thing for a little while and just see what, you know, we can get out of it. But anyway, welcome all. Tonight's topic is, if marriage had a personality, what would it be? And the only rule, the only existing rule that we have right now is no profanity. I want to ask a question. Should personality evaluation be premarital requirement?
I think it's natural.
You think it's natural?
Yeah, and what I mean by that is that, you know, your personalities are, you can see if they'll vibe with each other or not. So, you know, to your question, I don't know if you actually need a formal evaluation. It's just a natural getting to know each other and knowing if your personalities will mesh. And you just kind of figure it out as you go. And, you know, initially you can probably, after a short time, you know, any glaring issues, you could probably, you know, figure that you don't want to continue on, you know, with that person based on that personality trait. Because as we know, there's some personality traits that are just like oil and water. They just don't mix. So, you know.
You know, I think that the question isn't so much personality. I think it's more character. There are only a few basic personalities, and there's positives and negatives to each of them. But character is a whole different question.
Okay, okay. And personality, character as relates to personality, then.
Well, you know, you can have a, let's call it a type A personality, you know, but have terrible character that, you don't care right from wrong. You're going to do whatever you're going to do. Or you can have a very laid-back personality and have, you know, the same kind of character, you know, that's trying to take advantage and dog people, you know. So the type of, you know, personality that you have isn't as important to me as the character that you have, because you can learn to relate to and you do. In life, you need to learn how to relate to different type of personalities, because you're going to deal with those kind of people in your life.
Okay, okay. Now, do we all know what kind of personality type that we are? Do you think we took time to figure out? Because I guessed mine. I mean, after doing this research, I kind of figured out what it was. I took a personality test. But how often do we take a personality test to find out what type we are? A, B, C, I mean, whatever the case may be.
Does anybody... Man, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. If you ask me what type I am, I'm me.
I thought the same thing, and I thought there would be nobody in the world that could call out my personality. And about
exactly.
But
isn't that the part of why opposite attracts?
Well, about 15 years ago, I read a book on personalities, and I couldn't believe it. They had me nailed to the T. You know, and then I realized there's not that many different personality types. And learning how to recognize the different types and the positives and negatives and how to be effective with each of them is really what learning how to manage people is about.
Sure.
Yeah, and I would say in a marriage, I say generally speaking in every marriage, and I say generally speaking, you have one person. And it's not, you know, specific to the gender, but you have one person who can talk to anybody, and you have another person who's more reserved personality. generally you don't have two talkers or two really shy, reserved folks. You know, and I think that has proven true in all the relationships that I've seen, you know, even looking at my parents. You know, my dad will talk to you, but he won't talk to anybody, you know. And my mom is more, you know, she's more the talker. And so I guess, but in my relationship, I'm more the talker. And my wife is just sort of, you know, I mean, she'll talk to you, but, you know, I'm more the one, you know, and that'll come up and talk to you or whatever like that. So I think, you know, generally speaking, in any marriage or any relationship, you generally don't have two of the same. When it comes to communication style, you know, I think that's been consistent from what I've seen. You know, y'all may disagree.
So when people say we have a lot in common, those are just things, but not personalities, 9 times out of 10.
I'd say, yeah, I'd probably agree with you, yeah. Because you have common, you know, as a brother said earlier, you have, you know, you're looking for character, you know, good character issues and then, you know, good values. You know, but as far as personality, no. I mean, you know, it's a perfect complement, but not the same personalities. Because that just wouldn't work if, you know, my wife talked as much as I do. I mean, that just would not work.
Mm.
Well, I'm the quiet, reserved one in our family.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, P-Town. You had something?
No, I was just saying I wanted to agree with that. I mean, you know, just because, you know, you might have good personalities, one may be a talker, one may not be a talker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you're a talker, don't you need somebody to talk to?
Got that right.
Yeah, but most of the time, like, you know, I'm just talking about the general public. You know, it's a difference between talking to your spouse and mixing it up with the general public or, you know, being, going up in front of a group or something on the spur of a moment. I mean, that's like night and day versus talking to your spouse.
Okay, okay, all right.
As a matter of fact, I hear that's one of the biggest fears people have, standing in
front
of people and talking.
It is. It is.
I never understood that. I was like, give me the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now, do we look at a person's personality when choosing a mate? Now, I know, you know, you could ask the question, you know, well, how does she look? And someone will say, well, she's got a great personality.
Oh, you know what that means.
You know what
exactly. On a Haagen-Dazs day.
Exactly. But you know what? You know what? Speaking of that, Mr. Host,
yeah,
there are women who are not that attractive, but their personality is really great, and that makes them more attractive, and vice versa.
They don't have a choice.
but I mean, you know, then there are some beautiful women whose personalities is just garbage. I mean, really, that just makes them, you know, ugly.
That's true.
Okay.
You know, so I think it goes both ways.
You know what? On Monday, I was at DMV, had to renew my license.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that in action. I mean, you know how slow they are over there, and you're sitting there in the stores anyway. And I'm watching the ladies at the window, and there's three different ladies, and I'm watching the way they're interacting and their body language and all this. And one girl was just a bomb, man. She was like serious, like damn. And she had a personality, you could just tell. She just thought that she was all that and the world revolved around her.
Mm-hmm.
And the one to the right of her, I mean, she wasn't like, you know, dog ugly, but she wasn't like, you know, she walked in the room and everything stopped.
A room stopper.
Yeah, she definitely wasn't that. Where the other one would have stopped a lot, you know. But the one that wasn't just had the sweetest spirit and the most gentle personality. And as a matter of fact, I told her, I was like, when I ended up getting her, I was like, I was hoping I'd get you. I could tell you got a good spirit. And she just smiled and she said, nothing, you know, to be down about, you know. That's the difference. You can just see it in people.
Yep.
That negative stuff oozes out.
Mm-hmm. That's good words.
Good words, good words, good words. Good words. And you were in the MVA.
Yeah, man.
A lot of personalities in that joint.
Oh.
But when do we get to the point where we decide what's wifey material, the person we're going to marry? I mean, there's some things that we evaluate. Looks, personality, I guess job, I guess security, I guess whatever it is. But when do we decide, okay, this person's personality is marriage material?
You know, again, for me, it's not about the personality. It's more about the character of the person.
Okay.
If you're calling that the same thing, you know, but like I said, I guess what Rodney said, you're pretty much not going to be, I'm not gonna be with a woman that's gonna out talk me. I mean, nothing will ever get listened to.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, I don't think you're gonna be drawn to that. You'd be fighting all the time for who's gonna talk.
Yeah, but I get that. But I guess the question I'm trying to ask is, how important is it? Is there any importance with the personality? Because from what I'm hearing now, doing a little bit of research, personalities clash can end the marriage. The personalities don't match. If there's any conflict in the personalities, it could be detrimental to your marriage. So beforehand, where do we get to the point where we say, okay, this personality fits the person that I want to marry? And I know we say character, but I'm trying to kind of stick on the topic if I could.
Well, you know, personality and character kind of run together, but, you know, I'm thinking of an example, like someone who complains a lot, I just cannot stand somebody that complains all the time.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many things that, you know, we can be thankful for, and I always, you know, just run along in my head about all the things that, all the positive things in our life, and if you actually listed them out, it's no way that you can find, you know, it's always going to outweigh the negative stuff that's going on, at least in my opinion. So, you know, with regards to personality or character traits, you know, someone that complains is just, that's just not going to work, and I think that's how we approach it, you know, more so that we kind of know what's not going to work versus what will work, you know,
sure.
So it's, you know, we kind of back into it, I guess.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? I guess personality is really not that important. I could be wrong.
You know, I don't think we'd be attracted to that kind of person, though.
Right.
I think that's all in, I mean, I really think that there are people that are really, really quiet and kind of like wishing that they weren't that way, and they get attracted to somebody that has that. And I think probably a person that does a lot of talking, they're not looking for somebody to do a lot of talking. They want somebody that's going to listen.
Right.
And I think you go out on a date, and let's just say you got two people that don't talk. I mean, what's that?
Yeah, somebody got to spark the conversation.
And if both of them are like that, you know, chances are somebody else fixed them up on the date because neither of them are going to ask.
Right.
Okay, and they got out on the date and wouldn't say anything. They eat their food, she did her food, you know, and they come home and go, man, that was a lousy date. Okay? Whereas if you got somebody that you know, could spark the conversation, and somebody that didn't like to spark the conversation, and all they did was listen and say, oh, yeah, uh-huh, they both come home thinking, man, that was a great date.
And it can go both ways, Andrew, where you have two people that talk a lot.
Right.
You know, neither one can get a word in edgewise, and then they go home and they're like, man,
yeah,
that was a terrible date.
I said, man, that woman wouldn't shut up.
Right.
Yeah.
All that dude wanted to do was talk.
Right.
So I think that in from the beginning, that plays a big part of it.
Sure. Yeah, I got that. That's that, you described that C personality, the standoffish, you know, wait around for somebody to make it happen personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
What other personality? What's an A-type personality?
A-type personality.
Yeah, you got to break it down, Mr. Host.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I'm just going to give you a couple words about this one. Hold on a second. The A-type personality, competitiveness, hostility / anger, perfectionist.
That sounds like pain.
Tough-mindedness, reward-oriented, orientated, and drive workaholic. My way or the highway.
Wow.
That sounds like
the man to your left.
Who's to my left? Who's to my left?
Me?
That's right.
Yeah.
That sound like Peyton.
Yeah. Hey, both of y'all. Hey, but listen. Rodney, do you think you're a type A personality?
Oh, I absolutely am. I absolutely am A type.
and you wear it with a badge of honor.
Exactly.
I ain't mad at
you. Sure, you're right.
And look, every organization needs one.
But you can't have too many.
No, you can't. You can't. See, I did mine. I did my test, and it came back B.
And what is that?
Well, B is, you know, I'm
spontaneous.
Spontaneous, a little bit more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If the next man is running a marathon and beat me, I may not necessarily have to try to keep up with him. But I can run at my own pace and be all right with it. The A-type personality
is... No, you sound like a girl.
No. The A-type personality is I got to win every time.
I mean, second place is the first loser.
Yeah, but guess what? What if it's not a race?
It's always a race.
Now, see, Andrew, just like you said, you told me that when you're riding your bike and someone passes you, it's now a race has just started.
That's right.
But he doesn't know he's in a race.
Doesn't matter.
He is. Andrew is.
It's a race. And if you're behind me, it's a race too because you ain't going to catch me.
Yeah. Now, are A-type personalities good listeners?
No.
We're getting somewhere now.
We got to get beat down into submission to have that happen.
That's right.
But why aren't A personalities good listeners?
Because we're always thinking about the next thought to interject or the response to that point.
You're already thinking like two times ahead.
Exactly. It's hard for us to just listen and not have a response or a solution or, you know, that's just how we are.
And you have to learn to discipline yourself. To take a step back when you realize those things about yourself, when you start to study yourself, you have to realize, you know, there's positives and negatives to every personality.
Yep.
Sure. So,
you know, and when you start to learn those things, you start to realize, well, you know what? Some of those things can appear really arrogant. And especially earlier in my life, I thought, well, if you didn't think the way I thought, you were stupid.
Right.
Okay. And I mean, you know, the great thing about America was you had the right to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I was right.
Right.
The funny thing happened when I got saved was I realized, first of all, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not in control of jack. And when I realized that, you know, different people have different thought patterns from the miles that they walked didn't mean that they were wrong. And a lot of the things that I had taken as, I mean, just dead right, you know, as I got older, I realized, man, a lot of those things weren't right. And you weren't stupid if you didn't agree with me. Now, you know, like, Tony, you and I would disagree probably 95% politically.
Okay.
Okay. But that doesn't mean that you're stupid, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad guy, and it doesn't mean that I'm right.
Sure.
okay? And I've learned as I've grown to be able to respect people with where they are.
Sure.
And the different paradigms they have in their life, you know, and because of that, and because of the humbling that I had to go through, I think it's balanced me a lot more. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not goal-oriented, I'm not driven, I don't think that, you know, that the things that I try to do are the right thing. And what I have found is winning isn't the end-all, be-all. And winning is defined in many different ways. You know, I was like a bull in a china shop. I was going to get from A to B. There might have been a lot of dead bodies along the way. That didn't matter because I was going to get from A to B.
Yeah.
And then what I realized was success was the journey, not the destination.
Yeah,
Let's talk about losing for a minute.
Hold on. I wanted to say something.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Back to your question about listening. Like, you know, when y'all first told me about this show, you know, there's no way I could get on here and listen for the whole show. Impossible. I don't care what it is. I don't care if, you know, I got the flu or, you know, a sore throat or couldn't talk. There's no possible way I could get on here to listen. And when y'all first told me about it, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get on there and talk. You know, and but at the same time, there are other brothers, you know, who are on here week after week.
Listen.
Who listen.
That's amazing to me.
It's amazing to me, too.
I just can't get my mind around that.
Yeah,
me too. How you can come up here every week and just listen.
But
yeah.
No. But do you think there are any A-type personalities just listen?
Sure. But it, like Andrew said, you have to be disciplined. And I guess, you know, I could do it. You know, I could just put the phone on mute and just listen to y'all. But
you could rip the microphone out of the phone.
Yeah, but I would have to be. It's not impossible because I'm sure there are A types, you know, on the show that have disciplined themselves just to listen, and you know, and that's fine. But I just wanted to, you know, back to your question, just make the contrast that, you know, between the different personalities that, you know, both are okay. You know, it's not that, you know, one is not exactly. You know,
well,
so.
I mean, yeah, yes. Yes, they are okay, but in a marriage setting,
mm-hmm.
Now, you got your A, and then you got your non-A. I'm going to say non-A because she just ain't an A. Okay, it could be C. What is that noise?
That's no, I'm sorry.
Okay, she could be
C. That's me listening. I'm just listening.
That's good.
That's that A listing.
Wait. Your wife must be an A personality.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Really?
She's not.
So you're disciplining yourself as an A personality on our show then?
No, you know what happens actually a lot of times I don't respond because it's, you know, I mean, I don't have any comment to what you might be saying. I can't really relate to a particular situation, so therefore, I would just listen. But if it's something that I feel strongly enough about that I could speak on, then I would say something. Other than that, I just listen. Or I'm busy and I'm sitting there running around doing a whole bunch of other things, having a thousand conversations,
right?
And I can't say anything, so I put my phone on mute. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
Now, you brought something up, Tony, that I've had to deal with my whole life.
Okay.
You said, what about losing?
Mm.
What about losing?
And I grew up, I was real competitive as a little kid. And I had two sisters, and they would hate to play with me. And no matter what we would do, I would always look in amazement when I would read the directions on a board game. And it would say, object of the game. Say, the object of the game is to win. Okay? What do you mean the object of it? The object is always to win.
Sure.
And my sisters, I mean, there was a point to go, we're not playing with you anymore. Why? Because you just love to win. And that's all you ever want to do, win, win, win. And I really thought that I loved to win. What I found out was I didn't love to win. I just hate to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because losing sucks. And no matter how much in my life, losing still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I always looked at the guy who would say, well, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's how you play the game. See, I always figured that was a loser for me to pound. Okay? You know? But you have to define what winning is.
Sure.
Yeah, because you bring up a good point, Andrew, because, I mean, you can bring that into arguments you have with your spouse.
Exactly.
Because if you have that type of attitude where, you know, I'm not going to compromise, I got to go until I win, you know, never say die ever attitude, that may cause some, you know, some type of effect with the marriage, right?
As a matter of fact, I think that had a big downfall on my last marriage. Because as we went through the divorce process, she said, you're not winning this time.
Wow. Wow.
She said, it doesn't matter what you do, you're not winning. And you're not controlling this one, buddy.
But, I mean, let's be clear. In a lot of things, and we'll relate this back to the marriage later, but, I mean, in a lot of things we do, it is about winning and losing.
Yeah,
I mean,
winning is
line,
important.
Exactly. I mean,
okay.
you watch the Redskins on Sunday, or the Giants, or the Eagles, or whoever it is you watch.
The Giants, did you say?
Yeah, the Giants. And, I mean,
that's all.
Yeah, but, I mean, the reality is you don't watch them for them to come out in a draw, you know, at the end of the game. You want your team to win.
Yes.
And, you know, let's not get it twisted that, you know, even at your job, you know, it's stuff that, you know, you project or you want to do a good job. It is about winning. So, you know, let's not get so far, you know, out of the realm of reality that, you know, that it is going to be some compromise and no, nobody has to win this time, you know, and probably 95% of the things, it is a, you know, it's black or white, either you win or you lose, you know, type deal.
See, but again, you have to define winning, all right? And winning, in my opinion, in the marriage, winning is strengthening the marriage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to suck it up even when you know you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, two people entrenched, sometimes we get blinders on and we just can't see the point of the other person.
Sure.
And
yeah.
And the relationship is more important, you know, than that battle. I mean, let's win the war. I mean, we can win the battle and lose the war. We can win the fight and lose the marriage or damage the marriage or damage the relationship. You know, we can get to a point of, you know, so much I'm going to win, that we end up, what were we talking about? My wife and I were talking about a friend of ours that was so much into football that his wife did not feel as important as the football game. She said, because we were talking about doing a vacation, she said, well, you know, I can't. They can't go to Aruba with us because that's football season. Okay.
Wow.
Not kidding you.
Wow.
So I asked her, I said, from a woman's perspective, what would that make you feel like and what would you do? She said, well, you know, and I'm not that much into football. I mean, it's not that big a deal to me. I watch a game, but I'm not like one of these people that has to see it, okay? So, you know, I used to be, but I'm not anymore. But so she said, you know, I would want to know that I was more important than the football game. At a point where if there was an issue, that he was willing to turn the game off to deal with the issue and give me the, you know, the respect that I needed at that time. And she said, once I realized that, she said, it wouldn't matter. She said, you know, I wouldn't interrupt the game at that point. But once I knew I was more important than it, that was the thing. that he was willing to turn it off if I said there's an issue that we have to deal with.
And you made a good point about you know, defining winning, because if any one of us on here were to throw out the word Charlie Sheen, what's the next word that comes out? Winning. I mean, but in reality, you look at his life. I mean, is he really winning?
Right.
Yeah, he's got the cake, and he's got several ladies that he can do whatever he wants to with them anytime, and, you know, got drugs on demand or whatever it is he do. But, I mean, is he really winning?
Yeah.
I'm going to make a statement and tell me if it's true or false. Can winning be for a type A personality to learn how to lose?
I think that's what Andrew just said.
Well, see, I don't know about that. I mean, losing always. Let's get that out front, okay?
Yeah. Right. I mean, because guess what?
Winning
not...
cannot be defined as losing.
Okay.
Ever.
All right.
It can't be. But you can redefine winning as winning for the relationship.
Winning for the right reason.
Okay.
For the right reason.
And not responding to that thing that wells up in you when you feel like you need to respond, because you know if you do, it's going to hurt the relationship.
Okay.
Okay? I don't care how many times your wife says, is my butt getting too big? If you say yes, you just lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, you asked me and I was being honest. You lost.
You would think,
oh,
honestly.
The correct response is, you look beautiful to me, whatever size you are, honey, and I love you as you are.
And you would think being honest would be categorized as winning.
Yeah, tell your wife, baby, you're getting a little too big. You used to be attractive to me, but you know what? Now you're not, and Susie down the block is looking good. You should get in the shape that Susie's in.
Mm.
It might be a fact, and it may be true, but you just lost.
So should we not answer the question?
I love you anyway, honey.
But that doesn't answer the question.
That doesn't answer
the question. Take advice from the one who knows.
Okay, now, Rodney, you said we were going to bring it back to the marriage point.
Yeah, it's not time for that yet.
It's not time for that yet?
Nope.
We still want to talk about winning?
Whatever you want to talk about, yeah. I don't think it's time for that yet. Because we know the answer there. I mean, Andrew sort of alluded to it.
I mean, you know, it's just from the communication point. Like, I work with a guy that is strictly type A to the max and doesn't have time for small talk. I mean, small talk, it's worthless. And it seems like he's entertaining the small talk, but I know for a fact that he isn't.
Why? Because of his body language?
Well, just because his mind is thinking of, just like you said, 2-3 things ahead. The next 4 or 5 steps he's going to make in
right.
reference to whatever that task is at hand.
But you're wasting his time.
Exactly. You can't say, hey, come over here and let's talk about the weekend. No, the weekend's not important. We're still in the moment.
He's trying to close the deal.
Whatever it is, exactly. Even if there isn't a deal to be closed, he's looking for the next deal.
Yeah, but
and it may not be
closing.
One present. Go ahead.
You're always closing.
Always closing.
Yeah. Always closing.
But sometimes you're mentally closing yourself.
That's, hey, I always tell somebody, hey, somebody's always getting sold.
Somebody's always getting sold.
Okay, either you selling me or I'm selling you, but somebody's getting sold.
Gotcha.
Either I'm selling you in my business to take care of your hearing problem, or you're selling me that you're not going to, but somebody's getting sold.
Yeah.
One of us is a professional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me.
That was a good movie, wasn't it?
What? Which one?
Where you got that line from? I saw
really,
it.
Where'd I get that?
It was either Boiler Room or it was, what's the other one? Did you see Boiler Room? They said that in Boiler Room.
It was Boiler Room.
That's just the way I feel. Okay, I feel somebody's always closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think
I figured I'm the professional and I'm getting paid.
Sure.
So
yeah,
I'm going to be the one that's I got to have the check.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I think Mr. Host too, there are different, you know, different variances to the different personalities as well. Because not all A types are like that. You know, you could step in my office and I'll stop what I'm doing, you know, to literally talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I do, you know I was I don't know where I was, but I was out and about. But you could tell when somebody's, you're talking to them and they're still typing on their computer.
Yeah, Rodney, you're my man. I love you like cooked food, but I don't believe that. I would never stop by your job and want to talk small talk. Because you have your calendar, you have your Rolodex in front of you, you'd be like, I don't have 10 minutes, T. I gotta fit you in. I don't have 10 minutes right now. You got to give me a time. Let me call you when I got 10 minutes. I can fit you in next week.
And he runs from the back and says hello and runs back.
Exactly. I mean, everything, Rodney, is every move calculated? Just about.
Pretty much.
Okay. Now.
But you see, that's somebody that gets the job done.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes. And I'm not taking anything away. Look, that's great. Believe me. But in a marriage with a wife that's not type A, who doesn't live by Rolodex, who sometimes says, hey, you know what? I'm going to do nothing right now. How does that clash? Because I mean, Rodney, you said earlier that a type A has to be married to a type A. And then someone says earlier that it would be better for the opposites to be attracted.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's usually the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, it can't be two of the same types.
Yeah. So how does that communication work in a household? I mean, because, you know, a lot of times my wife comes to talk to me and I'm thinking about 3, 4, 5 things that haven't happened yet that I need to happen. And she doesn't have all my attention. And we hear that a lot. But how does that type A deal with it?
Well, I think you have to be committed first, you, like you said, I mean, I think it's great that you did the research and found out what your personality type is so you know what you're up against. But I think you have to be committed to it. It takes some, once you acknowledge what your personality type is and I guess figure out your wife's, you have to acknowledge, how you're going to communicate. And how there could be some hurdles and obstacles to you guys effectively communicating. And, I think that it takes some getting used to. I know it took me a while, to really. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it is sometimes where, you know, that there are those conversations where, you know, you're right. You're thinking about 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 other things. But you really have to concentrate and pay attention to what your wife is saying, because she's going to tell that you're not paying attention, and then she's going to shut down, and then she's going to be like, that's why I can't talk to you, you know, because mm-hmm. You're not giving me the attention I need, you know, I'm just trying to share something with you, and you want me to talk to you, and here I'm talking to you, and you're not listening, you're doing other things, you know, so I think that, you know, to your question, it takes some getting used to, and you have to, first of all, you know, acknowledge who you are. You know, and who your wife is, and just try to, you know, work around that.
Bingo. But like I asked earlier, should that be done prior to getting married? Find out who you are, find out who she is, instead of later on in the game. Because we know in the beginning, that type A will probably be a type B.
Yeah,
that type A is not going to be strong type A in the beginning of a relationship. You're not going to let her know that your life is on the schedule. You know what I mean? That you're driven and you know, you don't really like losing arguments too much, but you'll find a way to cooperate.
Yeah, because that can be a turnoff. That can be a turnoff.
Exactly. So somebody is not being who they really are up front. And that's what I'm saying. But it would be good to know, I would think, what the personality types are going in. I mean, I could be wrong, but.
No, it would be good to know. And I think that's what I said before, is that you got to do some – you got to try to look past the representative as much as possible, like you said, to know that some of that A type or whatever it is, you know, she's really a B or a C. I think this is just time, you know, invested time and, you know, those moments you do have to pay close and careful attention, you know, to her to find out if that's the representative talking or that's really her, you know.
So you're saying, Tony, you need to go back to the man's playbook and dust off the the horoscope. Remember?
Nah, I don't know about that.
That's part of personality because remember back in the day you would say when's your birthday and then you can kind of calculate what you have based off their sign and their birthday.
Yeah, but doesn't that change every day? Your horoscope for today is bam. Horoscope for yesterday was this, and then.
About like what's your sign? You know, that's
what's
that's,
your sign?
Your sign.
You know.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So,
but that,
you know,
I don't agree with the sign and your personality being two of the same. I think.
But
so.
One thing with the sign stuff is that
No, you get a Gemini
like,
as a twin. You know there's going to be a twin. There's going to be a good person and a bad person. You mess with
Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde, huh?
Uh-huh.
But I think with the sign stuff is that people with that, and I'm not into horoscopes at all, never have been, but, I mean, people with that, like, no matter what the description is of that of their sign, they automatically match it to themselves. Oh, yeah, that's me. That's me. Oh, yeah, I can see that. And it could be any of the, I don't even know how many signs on the zodiac, 12? Is it 12? Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, literally, it could be any one of them. You could read from any one of them, like you said, on the daily horoscope, and they can almost fit it into their life or their personality. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That's true. That's true. And it's like, stop being silly, you know. And I think they write them, you know, if you read them, they're so generic, you know, that it could be anybody's life. You know, it's like it's just crazy stuff. I don't know. I don't pay attention to those things.
Words. Anybody else? Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know much about the horoscope either. You know, Patrice, you took us way back on that.
That is way back, but it's telling the truth. You know, that
yeah.
was y'all, you know, that again, I don't know that because I'm not y'all's age. You know
hey,
I mean?
I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not saying you have to pull the dust off that page on the book. But, I mean,
but I do remember the old school players. Yeah,
I mean,
that was the line for the old school players. Hey, baby, what's your sign? You know, I don't know nothing about that, you know.
Yeah, that's old school.
I mean, that's real old school, but that's the way that guys in the past, used to be able to understand personality of a person. It's based off their sign.
Or they think they understand.
They have an understanding.
Mm-hmm. So back what the host was saying is that actually the old school players were doing some research into personality, you know, with the whole what's your sign thing, and then they go back and look in the newspaper or look on the dictionary back then. You know, for the old school, internet wasn't around. But, I mean, just to do some research, like, oh, you know, this is a person that has, you know, is a good person and a bad person, just like Patrice just said. You know, so, I mean, at least they were doing some, you know, with the whole wish your sign thing, it actually has some, maybe it has some benefit. You know, and especially if the person owned it, you know, if they own their horoscope, like, you know, yeah, that's me. You know, that's how I act, even though, it wasn't really them. If you didn't tell them what their sign was, you know, so if they own it, then, you know.
We sit down and we listen every so often we hear the divorce rate being what it is, half.
Yep.
You know, and then we try to figure out, you know, well, what makes marriages fail? Financial, communication, intimacy, you know, or could it be the lack of the clash in personalities, you know, because again, in the beginning, you really don't know what you have, and sometimes that lasts a long time, because a person may be civil, but they got it under control. They may be taking medication. Okay, I'm not going to show them my four or five different personalities. I'm going to try to hold it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when it gets to the point of being in a marriage. Again, and I know I asked the question earlier, but do we really do our due diligence? And I know I keep driving this point home, but I'm just trying to get some clarity because I don't know if we do because I've never, you know, even going to premarital counseling, nobody's ever talked about personality types. Talk about all these other things, what happened in the past, what, you know, your last relationship, parents, this, that, and the other. But nobody really talked about personality types. Is there going to be a potential clash in a personality that's going to make this marriage not work? And maybe Andrew can answer that, because that's pretty much his field. How often do you all talk about personalities when you're doing your counseling?
Never. Talk about more is the character of the person and the belief system of the person, how they are going, what marriage is. You know, the facts are that 50% of all marriages today end in divorce.
Yep.
People don't realize this, but second marriages fail even more than that.
Yes, and third marriages fail even more than that.
67% of second marriages fail, and 74% of third marriages fail. Well, I'm in my third marriage. You know, so the statistics say that I only got a 26% chance of this not working or this working. But when you start to understand what marriage really is, and, you know, a lot of times people get married and divorced and married and divorced because they don't really understand what marriage is, and they're looking for happiness. They think that marriage is going to make them happy. And, you know, if you're not happy, marriage isn't going to make you happy.
Nope.
Okay, just like money. You know, I used to have a buddy of mine, and he always equated happiness to money and where he was in life. And he and I go way back. You know, Tony, I'm talking about, you know, you got boys that go way back with you, right?
Sure.
You know, back in the day when you know,
they were asking ladies, "What's the sign?"
Yeah, you know, both of y'all were smoking weed on the corner. You know what I'm talking about, right?
You
know?
No, not at all.
Oh, no, at all. All right, well, Rodney understands that one. You know, so we go way back when, you know, neither of us had nothing. You know what I mean? And the sad thing is when I finally found one nickel and then a second nickel I could rub together, everything to him came down to money. And he'd always say stuff like, "Well, if I had your bank account," you know, and everything equated, you know, happiness to money. And marriage isn't going to make you happy. Marriage isn't going to make you miserable. If you're miserable now, you're going to be miserable. And most people take the stuff from their first marriage and don't look at themselves. Okay, and they don't realize that stuff's going with you. Got a real good friend of mine that used to live right up here. We go to church together and all kind of stuff. And he was just having all kind of problems. And he decided the problem is the D.C. area.
That's what a lot of people say.
And he decided to move to Florida about probably 3 years ago. And guess what?
Even better.
Yeah, all of his problems followed him to Florida because the problem is in him, okay? And personality isn't the issue usually because, you know, you could be with any kind of personality type. You know, if y'all get along and learn to respect each other, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. What really matters is that you respect the person and what they bring to the table. And one of the challenges, I'll just use it as A-type personalities, and one of the big downfalls is we look at people as less than. Okay? And that's a big, big battle in people with A-type personalities. And when a person with that kind of personality realizes that, and realizes that, you know what, this person is valuable. And just because they don't see things the way I do doesn't mean they're any less valuable or any less right. And it's learning how to respect that person that, to me, really is the main thing. It's not the type of personality you have, but the respect for that other person and giving them the freedom to be the person they are.
Yeah, but just think, Andrew, just think about that person married to the perfectionist. There is no freedom to be who you are. You got to be perfect, you know, like me. And I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist. I'm not like that. You know, that's, again, it's different variances to different personality types. But again, just imagine being married to that perfectionist. Like, it ain't right unless it's right, you know. And
that's the way I used to be.
Yeah.
Hey, Rodney, is your wife, would you say your wife's an A-type?
She can be.
Okay.
She absolutely can be, but, I don't think that's her, I'm A-type.
Yeah.
Majority of the, the time, whereas, yeah. She has a sliver of A-type, absolutely.
Yeah. And again, I think mine does, too. I know she's not A. She came across as something from time to time. But we talked about before, it may have just been last week when we talked about cleaning the house and how we'll make an attempt. We'll take a stab at it. And then they'll go right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
That whole perfectionist thing. To the point where, you say, you know what, I'm not going to do it no more. Because I made an attempt. And my attempt wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and I think that I tried that, and that's a mistake. You have to really confront it. And what I mean by that is, I told her, I was like, you cannot. The bottom line is, I cannot. My capabilities, my cleaning capabilities are not up to your standards. So I'm not going to be able to clean, how you clean. So just get that in your head and just be grateful that I've cleaned. It's cleaner. It may not be the cleanest, but, I think that just saying, because I tried that, just drop and say, I ain't doing it no more. That's just avoiding the issue. And,
yeah.
You have to be tactful and timely, when you do say, hey, you cannot do that to me, that's discouraging, just know that I can't do it like you do it. So just be grateful that it's done. It's even something like, I don't know how to load the dishwasher. I'm just ready to bust some suds or whatever if the dish has got to be done. And, because like Andrew said a couple of weeks ago, my dishwasher, you got to rinse them before you put it in.
Yeah.
You might have to run them through again. It ain't one of them fancy dishwashers. She can load a dishwasher better than I can. And but I run a cycle and it just, it'd be plenty of space left. But I'm just lying. Hey, just be glad that the dishes got washed.
Good words. Yeah, because that can be discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that, But some people might view that as taking a loss. You did your best, and your best ain't good enough. And I think that's what we talked about before, learning how to lose. Because sometimes in a marriage, we're going to have to take a loss. You might agree with that?
Yeah,
especially
in
some of the arguments that we have. And we want to win, but winning may not be the thing. Winning may get you nowhere. Sometimes a loss in a marriage argument is a good thing.
Yeah, and you're right, brother, because it's not even worth, it's sometimes where absolutely you got to stand your ground, we're going to hash this out because you are absolutely wrong. But then on the other times, it's like, it ain't even worth it. It's really not even worth it. So I think we as guys do that more often than women do, just suck it up. Maybe not, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's a lot of times we're just I don't even want to hear it. It's not even worth the argument, the 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 weeks without her speaking to me. It's not even worth it. So you just try to maintain.
Now, do you go 3 or 4 days without speaking to your bride when you have an argument?
No, not me. I'm a talker. I don't do that. But on the flip side, it has been the other way. Not recent, but it has been some times where it has been many, many days and no problem. I'm just like, wow, are you serious? 7 days?
Really, how do you deal with that? I couldn't deal with that.
It's hard.
It's frustrating.
It's hard, you just see me just wilting. I'm just like, man, it's 8 days. you're picking up the kids, you're eating dinner, and, you got the one time. One of my kids was sitting at the table, and it's almost like a tennis match. She's just like looking back and forth, like which one of them is going to speak. Because we're kind of talking around each other, but she's, they can pick it up, but
Wow.
You know, but like I said, that hasn't happened recently, thank God. So I mean, that's a good thing. But I've been there.
What do you think stopped it? What do you, and I'm not picking on you. I'm just
sure. I mean, what stopped is that you know, one thing I think that, you know, we had our troubles, and y'all know that. I've said that many times, but we just came closer together, and we just realized that, you know, life is too short, you know, to be arguing for 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And so what stopped it was, you know, we did some things in our marriage to help cultivate or recultivate the intimacy that was lost. You know, so, I mean, and once that was there, and I'll give you a perfect example. We were having a conversation about money. Oh, it's a fun conversation, isn't it, fellas? But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just when was this? Saturday? Yeah, just Saturday. And our intimacy level right now is so great that in the middle of having, you know, some deep, you know, argumentative points and it's like, I mean, you're wrong. We're laughing because it's like we're laughing. Both of us are laughing because we're angry and we're upset. But again, it's not. Whereas before, it would have just stopped. The conversation would have been shut down, and we wouldn't have talked for a few days. But our intimacy is at a level now that we're having a heated discussion, and in the midst, laughing about it, you know, about money. And so, I mean, it was interesting because I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you're wrong. You're wrong. And I'm laughing about it, whereas before, it was no laughter. It was like, you're absolutely, you know, I was hurt, you know, but I mean, but that was when the intimacy was lost. You know, we didn't have that. So now we've you know, built that back up, and we don't have those knock 'em out, you know, long, drag-out discussions, you know, where we go 3 or 4 days without talking or any of that. So that's not even an option anymore. So we kind of. And I've learned what I've learned on my part is to, you know, realize where I was wrong, you know, and be quick with the apology. Now, with that, fellas, you know, you gotta be mindful that not all the time your lady is ready to receive your apology.
Yeah.
And my wife would tell me that, you know, we'll have a discussion and, you know, 10 minutes later I'll come down and say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry. And it's not that easy for them to say, oh, I forgive you. Everything's lovely. No, and the good thing is my wife would tell me, I'm not ready to receive your apology yet. You know, and eventually she will. It won't be 2 or 3 days, but, you know, she'll come around. But that, I mean, that pretty much extinguishes it. And
hey, Rodney, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You know, last year or maybe it was this year, you had a real serious car accident.
Yeah,
did that change
year.
Your perspective at all?
It has. It has, and that's a good point you bring that up because it was June, so it was a few months ago, not too long ago, and she was with me, and, you know, we were coming back from the Sade concert. For those of you who don't know, it was late, about 1 o'clock in the morning, but she was with me, and I proceeded to roll my truck on the interstate at about 60 miles per hour and hit the guardrail. Everything ended up on the passenger side, on her side, when we stopped rolling. And but I mean, yeah, I mean, life flashed, you know, in between my eyes, definitely, and I'm sure between hers. But you know, the fact that we were together, and even prior to that, you know, we were in a great space. You know, we the intimacy was, you know, but even that, you know, yeah, I mean, that's a great point you bring up, is that has brought us close together because one or both of us, you know, it could have been different, but it wasn't. But, you know, God spared us. I mean, that's the bottom line. It was not either one of our times ago, and we walked away from it with no problems. And, you know, I had a wonderful young lady that took us home in the middle of the night, about 30 minutes out of her way. You know, so, I mean, you're definitely onto something. I mean, that, you know, on the heels of, if y'all have been to a Sade concert, y'all know she put it down, you know. So, I mean, on the heels of that, on the way home, we just talking about, you know, just having a great conversation, you know, about how good God is in our lives and that kind of stuff. And then right after that, you know, it's almost like slow motion when you're rolling around in an SUV in the rain and hoping that it stops and you're safe or what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. You think about your kids and, you know, but we walked away from it. And but, yeah, it was a humbling experience, and I got the message. I got the message, so good question.
And, you know, and go ahead. Somebody else? Go ahead. I was going to say something. And you know, a lot of times we don't want the wake up call like what you had, because you said before that you have thought that might have been a wake up call for you all to just appreciate that life is short, you know. But me, man, I struggle with that. I struggle with it because if I'm upset, I don't want to talk to you. That's just, you know, I don't want to talk to you. And I may not want to talk to you tomorrow, maybe the next day, you know, but the good thing for me is my wife, she just doesn't have the patience for it. She'll text me that night what you want for dinner, and then I'm done. I'm like, okay, whatever.
You plan on being mad for 7 days.
You know what I'm saying? I've been trying to be mad, but, you know, she just, you know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if we can do that as well as they can. I mean, they can shut it off. I mean, and just going to work, picking up the kids, doing cooking, doing homework, doing everything, you know, except for talking to you.
I don't know, man. I know some dudes just like that.
Really? I don't know. And Andrew,
no.
Maybe like the host said. Maybe they don't have a lady that say, "Hey, come on, dude. I mean, what you want for dinner tonight? Stop goofing off." I mean, maybe they don't have a lady in their life that's like, you know, that cares about them so much. That's like, hey, you know, we need to get it together. We need to stop this foolishness.
You know, I think it comes down to somebody said, you know, the humbleness. And there's some people that are so stuck on pride that they'd rather win the argument. And even if it sacrifices the marriage, they don't care. They want to win so bad that, you know, they're going to shut it down because they believe they're right and their woman ain't getting it. And that's how they're going to teach them a lesson.
Yeah. And I wish that, you know, we could have like some scared straight moments where some husbands or wives could say, yeah, I was mad at my spouse and then they got hit by a truck. And that was, I mean, but their last interaction was, I wasn't talking to him, you know? I mean, that's really, like, really? You know, so she didn't come back, so y'all never. So, I mean, that person has to live with the fact that their last moments with their wife was
anger.
Exactly.
Anger. Yeah, I'll tell you what happened to me. And I don't know if I've ever told the story before. My first marriage was exactly like that. We would not talk to each other for, you know, because we were angry or whatever the case, for days, sometimes weeks. And it was so bad one night, I remember I was in Walmart and I saw my wife. And we didn't speak. I mean, looked straight at, living in the same house, everything. Looked straight at each other and turned her head and walked away.
And y'all were living together?
Living, married, living together, just not talking. You know, and now,
I don't mean to laugh, man, but how does that work? How do you get to that point?
Dude, exactly. That's the thing. I don't even remember what we were mad about. That's how probably unimportant it was. You see what I'm saying? But that was just a characteristic that we developed, and she brought it with her, and I brought mine with me, and we were like, well, you know what? I'm not going to lose, so I'm not going to give in either.
Is that the way you saw your parents interact?
No.
How did you develop that?
I don't know, brother. I don't know, man. I have no idea. I have no idea, you know. But so anyway, it got so bad that I remember 2 weeks went by, and I wasn't mad no more, you know, but I was done. I couldn't take it any longer. And she just kept not talking. So I had to send her an email to her job that I didn't want to be married to her anymore.
What?
Mm-hmm.
An email?
Email. email. When she got the email, she came home. She said, "Why did you send this email to my job?" I said, "Because that's how I need it. That's how I knew I'd get your attention."
Wow.
And then she proceeded to say, "Well, what can we do to work it out?" I was like, "You ain't speaking to me in 2 weeks. There's no working out."
So that was
no
it?
Working out. Yeah, that was it. That was the beginning of the end. At that
wow.
point. Yeah, I mean, because after a while, and looking back on it while talking, I may have had to become accustomed to that. Because just like Andrew said, my parents didn't do it. So I don't know where it came from. So maybe it was something within the confines of that marriage that I just got, you know, became accustomed to just not speaking. You know.
But wait a minute. So you admitted that you still have a little bit of that
yes.
in you.
Yes, exactly. That
and this
over.
Time, your wife won't let y'all go 2 weeks
not
without speaking.
Not at all. There'll never be 2 weeks. There'll never be 4 days. You know. But you know, if our schedules are passing, you know, like I'm coming home from work, she's asleep or whatever the case may be, you know, but she'll still send me something.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm still breathing. I know you're mad. I know I'm mad, but or be mad and what you know, what do you want for dinner?
Right. Yeah.
Or you know, I need you to pay XYZ.
Yeah.
You know, well they're gonna tell you that mad or not.
that's good. Well that's a good woman though, I mean.
Yeah, you know.
I mean she cares about you that much to say let you go for 2 weeks.
That's right, because it's really not worth it
mm-hmm.
at the end, especially when you forget, you know. And I've had some legitimate points that I was, you know.
You had a good mad workup,
A good mad workup. You know what I mean? But to her, it was like, yeah, we just going to have to get past this one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good stuff.
Good words. Good words.
P-Town, you asked a question earlier about how does that happen?
Yeah.
Just go ahead and elaborate on that.
Oh, boy. How can it happen, man? I mean, how do we get to the point where we have a disconnect?
Yeah.
Where you get to the point where... You're not even talking anymore. That enough is enough.
Mm.
That, you know, I'm sick of the same routine. We go through the same argument. You know, it has to be a personality. Yes, you always been like this. But why can't you see that it's affecting our marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be anything. You know, it could be attitude. You know, you get mad every time I sneeze. And it gets to a point you just get frustrated. So how do you get past that point?
Y'all know what it is.
Because it's personality. It's something they've been doing even before you. So it's easy. I mean, it's not even that they even try to do it. It just happens.
Yeah, and it's over time we get complacent. And, you know, with the intimacy is...
You know what I'm talking about. I mean, just...
Yeah.
It frustrates you to the point where you just like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So what they say, P-Town, it's a thin line between love and hate.
It is.
And I don't know if we get complacent. I think because while you're getting complacent, little chips of you are just being chipped away. Little pieces are just being chipped away while you're sitting there being complacent. Sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm going to pick and choose my battles. I ain't going, you know. But in the meantime, you're not getting what you want. You're not getting what you signed up for.
Yeah.
So how do you express that? Because you got first you solve one problem to get to the other. And I don't think we get to the point, either, you know, the man or the woman ever get to the point where we are able in our marriage to solve one problem and then begin working on another. It's not like your job where, you know, you plan and say, this is how we're going to get rid of this thing and then move on to the next. it's harder in a marriage. I mean, because you can't plan how to fix a marriage, can you?
You should. I mean, you should do some marriage maintenance, as the host always says.
I mean, but when you say to fix it, that means it's broke.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where you just is like, you continue constantly, repetitively argue over the same thing. And you know that type of personality, so you try to avoid it at all times. But it just, even the more you avoid it, the more it happens.
And you think that's something. Go ahead, Rodney.
I just think, you know, just to go back to something you said, Mr. Host, maybe last week, about that we have to be aware of the attacks on our marriage. And, you know, you could be sitting there listening to this show, like, yeah, me and my wife, we really, our personality types really clash. I mean, I don't know if we should have ever gotten married. I mean, for you to really ponder that is nothing but the devil. You know, and we have to be cognizant and aware that our marriages are going to get attacked, period. So whether it's coming through the personality angle, you know, or whatever angle, you just got to be cognizant and mindful that this is an attack. This is just another method of an attack.
Yeah, but he said something that was key in reference to, and good words. Good words. I do remember that. He said something that was key, that said the personality keeps coming out. Right, Patrice? You said it's just their personality, it keeps coming out.
Yeah.
Now, when did it start coming out? That's the question.
But remember, I said it's one of those things you probably saw before you got married.
There you go.
And let it slide.
You let it slide. And
yep.
Now it's come, it's becoming
that monster's out of the cage.
I tell you what, that big booty is a terrible thing.
Nah.
It's a terrible thing, because it's going to make you turn a blind eye to a lot of things.
You're like, I don't care about that either. No,
I don't care about that. Yeah, I know you got 8 personalities. I'm good.
But yeah, like P-Town said, I mean, you saw it. You chose to ignore it, chose to let it slide. Oh, that ain't really her. It'll be, you know, when she's become my wife, I know she ain't going to act like that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be able to work this out. But I think Andrew said it last week. It's one of those things that if you don't nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever nipped it in the bud. I don't think we ever said, listen, you're not going to talk to me this way, or, you know, I don't even know what you would say to nip some teeth.
But wait a minute. Should we? Now, this is going back right up, you know, what the host is talking about this evening. Should we, you know, just kind of force her not to be herself?
Going somewhere.
I mean, really. I mean, if that's her, you know, you said it keeps coming up, it keeps coming out. So that's her. I mean, should we kind of just say, you know what, you can't do that anymore, married to me. So, I mean, in essence, you're saying that you really can't be yourself in your own marriage. That's heavy.
That's heavy. In your own skin.
In your own skin.
In your own skin.
Because it bothers your spouse.
Wow. And that leads me to another question. Can a bad marriage change your personality?
Wow.
Yes, it will. I think
100%
it will.
That's the monkey wrench of the world.
Wow. You got to say that again. I think they missed that.
Yeah. Can a bad marriage change your personality? How many times have you heard somebody say, I just can't be myself around you?
It happens.
And it happens to us. You know why? Because some of us want the stripper pole, but we can't get it. Some of us want to do freaky stuff, but you just can't. You can't. There's certain things some of us want, and not just also on the call, just as men in general, there's certain things that we want because that's what we like, but we can't be that person because it's not appropriate for the, for the situation.
I got this from a couple weeks ago. We had an evangelist at the church, and he says, as adults, you put this cage, and even last week our pastor talked about it. We put this cage around ourselves. And I think we end up putting a cage around ourselves in our own home. You know, you want to be one way outside the home, and one, and you thought you could just be yourself inside your home. But I think you end up putting another cage, a different type of mask on inside your own home.
Wow.
And that's a problem. Because
that's a problem.
Because the one person, I would say, on this earth that really knows me is my wife. I mean, it's not my mother. It's not my father. I mean, she knows me. I mean, my mother and father know me, but you know what I mean? It's, I mean, my wife really knows me. I mean, she really gets me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you have to wear a mask in your own home, that's a problem.
Wow.
Because, I mean, at least we can almost condone and understand wearing a mask out in public or wherever you are, whatever the case may be. But when you're in your own space, the mask should come off. In your own home, you shouldn't have to walk around on eggshells or keep the mask up. Well, I can't let her see this, or I can't do that, you know? Can't do that. Not in your own house. That's a problem.
I think it happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to act like the head of household. But you might be having some stressful moments. But you don't want your family to see it.
Yeah.
You don't want your family to see it, and it causes, even though, just like you said, your wife is probably knows you better than you know yourself now.
Yeah.
And she can, you know, sense that there's some issues, but you just won't bring it out. And because you won't bring it out, she argues with you. Because she brings hers up. And then it comes up in a conversation, well, I tell you everything and you don't. And argue.
Right. You don't talk to me.
Right.
I think that's growing pains, though. I mean, the remedy to that. I mean, you just think that it's, somebody said on this call, I think y'all said the 5-year mark and the 7-year mark, or maybe somebody just said the 7-year mark.
Somewhere around that range, yeah.
Yeah, the first 5 years is the honeymoon stage. Everything goes right. We can get it done. I love you. You love me. We do it together. But then once you get to that 7 to 10 year mark, that's a different type of mark. That's over. Hey. You need to get a new job, or we need to get these bills, or these kids getting on my nerves. You know, we got to change our schedule. And then, you know, you get to that 10, 13. It's like stages in marriage where you go through different themes.
Peaks and valleys.
Peaks and valleys. Same personality, though.
Yeah, but I want to get back to the question you asked, Mr. Host. And, you know, I asked you. You know, since you were in a bad marriage, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I cannot say that I'm in a bad marriage. I mean, we had a rough patch, you know, just like any marriage. But I mean, you were in a bad marriage. I mean, looking back on that, did you feel you had some like unresolved anger that you were exerting and just kind of wilding out that normally, you know, you wouldn't have done. You know, had you been in a healthy marriage, you know, you would not have quote unquote, you know, did your dirt wild out. I mean,
yeah, you are 100% correct, because the things I did now, I have no desire to do. I mean, then I have no desire to do now. A lot of it was lashing out. A lot of it was get even. A lot of it was, okay, you're just going to ignore me. All right, then somebody ain't going to ignore me. You know what I mean? And that's just how I rolled. You know, I didn't take a lot of time. When you have a wife and a kid, you try to, you know, do your part. you know. But when you're doing your part, and that's, in my mind, going out, making the money, keeping the house afloat, making sure everybody had what they needed financially. In my mind, that's what my part was. And I just wasn't in tune with what my part really was, you know, about being the head of that house, you know. So I was feeling like, okay, you know, certain things, you know, I'm not getting, certain respect, certain conversation or whatever it was, so I had to do the best that I could to make myself happy.
Let me just add another wrinkle to that, if I may. Did the divorce change your personality? You know, when it was, you know, you're going through that and everything, you know, you're going through the process and then it was finalized. You know, it's X and X, you know, no more, you know, seeing each other in Walmart and not speaking. It was over. You know, y'all were done with each other as far as the marital contract. I mean, how did that experience change your personality?
That's a really good question. I mean, divorces are never a good thing, especially when there's children involved. You got to muscle through that the best that you can and make sure that they're okay and they understand what's going on. And, you know, it's just going to be two different houses that, you know, you try to say, hey, you'll have two houses now instead of one. You know, but my personality changed going through that to know that I can't ever do that again. That I have to do my due diligence not to let that happen again. And that's where my can't lose attitude really comes into play. You know what I'm saying? But again, yes, it did change to the point where, yeah, we're on this call right now trying to be better husbands so none of us get divorced.
Good words, brother. And did the bad marriage and or the divorce change your ex-wife's personality? I mean, could you see something in her? Or maybe did you see it in her before y'all got married and then it sort of sprung up and, you know?
I think that we weren't, I'm not going to say I think. I know we weren't in a good place spiritually. And that's pretty much it. We weren't in a good place spiritually. We were destined to fail. There was no obedience. There was no guidelines. There was no nothing. It was, we're just married and we got kids and let's just, anything goes. You know, and I was not fit to be the head of any household. Not the head that we talk about on these calls. You know, and I think you have to get to that place and understand that you have to have a power source. You have to have rules. There's certain things that you just can't do. That's very detrimental. I didn't have any of those rules. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people are like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. Whatever I need to do to get happy. And that's where I was. You see what I'm saying? But now I understand what I have to do and all that I have to put up with. And that, you know, I'm not going to be dealt anything that I can't handle. You know what I'm saying? Before, the smallest little thing would flick me off. I'm like, oh, I'm going out. Peace. I'll come back, you know, later on, tomorrow. You know? Or I'd seek refuge in a nightclub or at the bar or the strip club or wherever. And I thought that was going to complete me because my marriage didn't. But, again, I had it twisted. So, you know, it did teach me a lot.
Yeah, but you made a good point that a lot of men, even ourselves in our private heyday, we always look for an out, just a release mechanism. It's not like we look for to relieve the message, but we just try to find an out to get away from that stress of that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of us, we got that old Crown, that whiskey downstairs, that Black Label. You know, we use that. Some men would, you know, just say, you know, I'm going to the bar.
Yeah.
And spend money to get some Black Label or some Leave Me Stronger stuff. Some men go to the club, and then some men need another woman to relieve their pain. I mean,
Yeah, but you have to pick and choose your outs, respectively. And I see
that. The hardest thing, that's almost like a drug to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're leaving, and you're leaving a hostile environment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're mad at your wife. You got to get some fresh air. You're leaving a hostile environment for that moment. And but you're going to do something else negative. Then you have to come back and do that same hostile environment to fix the problem you left.
That's right, because it don't go nowhere. It's actually worse when you get back. It's temporary. It's temporary. And guess what? It's not even satisfaction.
No,
because
it's not. You just need some fresh air.
It's not. Because if you out there with another woman, guess what? You feel worse.
What?
Yeah. And I got a monkey wrench, if I may.
Sure.
Now, we talked about personality types earlier. What about the guy, the married man, who's not A-type, like me,
sure.
Like Andrew, like some other folks that get on,
sure.
And is shy, reserved, introvert, or whatever the case may be, and his marriage is failing. And we have this form, which is live, and you don't have to speak, but you can still gain knowledge. But what I'm getting at is that could your personality be a contributing factor to the failure of your marriage? Whereas you're so shy, reserved, and introverted that you won't raise your hand and say, you know what, I need some help. Or you need special one-on-one attention or whatever it is that you need, but you're so introverted and shut off from, you know, just tapping in to access points like householdstress.com, whereas it contributes that your lack of getting outside of your personality, breaking out, say, you know what, I'm not going to let my marriage fail. I'm going to go to the bookstore. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble. I'm going to get on the internet. I'm going to, you know, find marriage. Or I'm going to get on, you know, the show on Tuesday. Whatever it is, breaking outside of your comfort zone could help save your marriage, but you let your personality win out and your marriage goes down the tubes because of your pride and your personality. I don't know if that's in your notes, Mr. Hope.
Let me tell you something.
No, but you said something worked, man. I'm probably at the top of the message that your pride gets the best of you.
Yeah.
It gets the best of you in an argument at home. Goes back to what Andrew said earlier about, you know, if you're a competitor and you grew up being a competitor, you don't know how to take criticism, you don't know how to take losses. And sometimes as a household, we ruin our own marriages because we don't let, you know, you said some type A, we're already thinking ahead, so we're not good listeners.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got, you know, you just got to take a step back instead of solving the problem. And really find out what that personality, what's wrong, why is she having that personality?
And listen, that personality thing can go both ways.
Yeah.
Because a person like me, I could be like, I got this. I'm all in a bag of chips. I don't need you raggedy guys on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, my wife could be screaming, like, we need help. But this guy thinking we got it all together when we don't. Where I'm walking around like, yeah, I'm A-type. Everything is all good. I don't need nothing and nobody. So I don't need your little call. I don't need your little book. I don't need your little marriage retreat because I'm good. So it can go both ways where you can have the shy guy who's saying, yeah, that's really not me. I don't get on and talk and mix it up with the brothers. I mean, or you could be like, you know what, man, I got this under control. Arrogance, cockiness.
Right. You're right.
Well, I don't want to. Right. No, I don't need that. I got the model marriage. When we ask your wife, and she like, heck no, we ain't got the model marriage. We need some help.
Wow. And that's a great question that you just asked. And the only way that I can answer that is in a marriage, you're going to have to get uncomfortable.
Say that.
You're going to have to get uncomfortable to get comfortable. You're going to have to change that personality from time to time. You're going to have to be a camouflage sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done some things that I never thought I would do. Never.
Except for the banana and the tailpipe, right?
Man, exactly. I've eaten some humble pie that I didn't even think was being served.
Mm.
I mean, just certain things that you have to, you know, when you take that step and say, I am going to be married till death do us part. See, a lot of people say it, but it don't, you know.
Yeah.
When you realize that that's what it is, that divorce is not on the table, that you have to work it out. That's tough, man. It's tough. You got to be a lot of different people. And I'm not saying split personalities, but you got to learn to say, okay, well, you know, this is what I normally do, but I can't do that right now. I got to do something else. Because right now is not the time.
Yeah, and it's not split personality. It's multiple personalities.
Multiple. That introvert guy, he ain't going to make it. He ain't going to make it. And that's hard to say because not only, I mean, because when I hear that, I hear someone that is consistently being taken advantage of in the household.
Push over.
Because if you ain't speaking up for your marriage, what are you speaking up for?
Mm-hmm. Push
that
over.
Means you ain't speaking up for nothing. You ain't speaking up for, okay, you know, you got to stop going hanging out with your girls. You know, we got to do some family things. I mean, you ain't speaking up for nothing. You got to stop spending all this money. You know, you got to budget the house. You got to clean the house. You got to, you know, certain things that, you know, that goes on in a normal marriage aren't happening for that cat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ain't putting his foot down saying, okay, this is how we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have too much pride, it's either, I mean, pride, like the other person you described, pride is going to kill you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Don't wait for the doctor to tell you you got cancer to go get some help. You know, well, now I'm good. No, you ain't good.
Hey, I'll be the first to say I'm in that category, you know. There's a lot of things that could probably be better in my marriage if I just let that pride go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all could.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be the first one to say, well, you know, and to my defense to that, though, is I'm going to tell y'all to be – and I don't know if this is happening to y'all, but my counterpunch is to hurt your personality. To say something that may hurt, you know, my spouse.
Now, look, I got to stop you right there. I do.
Just so I can get out that situation.
No. Seriously, it's my duty to stop you.
All right.
Let me tell you why. Because not too long ago, I was you. Not too long ago, I was the, yeah, well, I got something for you. You going to say this about me? Well, guess what I'm going to say about you. And, yeah, you got that one. Well, guess what? I got this. And guess where it got me? Worse off.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can't win. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, think about it. In a boxing match, somebody going to have to get knocked out.
Mm.
Yeah. And then somebody knocked out. Who you fighting with?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what happens in marriage. We throwing punches. We hitting body blows. We going places that are off limits. They ain't supposed to talk about. We bring it up. Here, take that. Here, you take that. But guess what? At the end of that doesn't, in a marriage, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't, man, because I done got screwed many a time.
Yeah.
And it, then that salad treatment comes in.
Exactly.
And that cold bed.
Say that.
Yeah. Oh. And we're not good with the cold bed.
Yeah.
We don't do well with that side of the bed.
No.
Then you find yourself downstairs at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And then just trying to squeeze in the bed just so you can go to sleep and you know. I mean, I don't know if it happened to y'all, but I can guarantee it's happened to me.
It's happened to us. Well, it's happened to me. I know. And the hurtful things, it may sound like, okay, we got to get one up because we down one up. I mean, you know, you may be down one, so you got to get one up. And then you may say something that, I mean, because we all know those things that break them.
Yeah.
That thing that will just break them down to the point where you, and then you feel bad, like, man, why did I say that?
Yeah.
And we,
you know what I mean?
And Mr. Host, we store that up. You know, we like, yeah, just wait. I'm going to pull that out. I'm going to pull this out. Yeah, you just wait. And then you just, ba-da-da. I mean, it's like almost like rat-a-tat-tat. You know, you load them up like, yeah. And now, like you said, I mean, they end up on the ground, and it's like you're looking at them. It's like, now what you going to do?
Yeah.
But you know what? I found out what my problem was. And my problem wasn't doing it inside the marriage. It's because I couldn't do it outside the home.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that when you're at work, you know, you try your best. You do, you know, you always are told to do better than everybody else, you know, work smarter, not harder. You know, do all these things, and then when somebody criticizes you, accept it. Because you know, if you counter back, there may be some repercussions that could affect the family.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So you take more from the outside, but it frustrates you when you have to come home and you have to deal with that same. It's like your mind puts it, even though it shouldn't be in that same type of category, your mind is saying it's the same thing. And you're like, I can't do this. I can't do this outside the home and take this crap inside my own house.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of inside the house, I got another quick monkey wrench. How does having children change our personalities in a marriage?
Mm.
I mean, because before it was just you and her, and then, you know, then these kids come, and it's like, how does that change our personality? I know for me, it's taught me patience.
Patience, yeah.
Because I'm just like, it's safe to say, fellas, you know, I can't do third grade math homework. Because I don't know what they're doing,
yep.
You know. But Mr. Hose, you sent me some economics 501, and I was like, bam! You know, I knew exactly what it was. But I mean, I had no patience to do third grade homework with my daughter because she's not as good at math as she is at reading.
Sure.
I mean, that's just fact of the matter. So I'm just thinking that, you know, it's like you read on a fifth grade, sixth grade level. Why can't you do this third grade accelerated math? And, you know, it took some different teaching styles and methods with her. I learned that I cannot – my words are important, you know, because she's very emotional. You know, if I say the wrong things, you know, got the waterworks going. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you crying? You should know how to do this. You read on a fifth grade level. Why can't you do third? So that I found it didn't work. But, I mean, it helped me with patience. And, you know, now I'm just like, well, let's try it again. You know, or most of the time I just have her mother, you know, step in because that's her profession and she knows the methods that the goals that they're trying to reach, and I'm still working on that patience thing.
You're a work in progress. You like me. I'm like, man, come on, man.
Yeah, and I heard you do homework at the start of the show. You know, I know how it is, man.
I know how it is. 9 o'clock, and I'm still doing homework. I mean, what's the problem?
Exactly. Tell me about it.
I think it's that patience piece. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of men that actually talk to their wives the same way you speak to your daughter.
Mm.
I mean, you get that a lot. You know. You know, why isn't my food ready? Why can't you get it right? You know how I like to eat this. Why'd you do this? You know what I mean? And they just perceive it that way, that, you know, it's just bossy. You know,
mm-hmm.
perfectionist type A. You know, I can't be you. And then they say, you know, like your child makes some one day be like, Dad, I can't be you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm doing the best that I can.
Yeah.
You see, and that makes you sit back and be like, well. Because that's what you want. You want them to be you and then some.
Yes.
The 10th power.
Yeah. Yep.
Want them
you know
to
what I mean? But,
Be better.
Yeah, be better. But you may not get that A student. You may get that C student. That's trying, that shows up just this what I do. That may not be, you know, that A type. And it's hard for us to understand that. It's hard for us to get that the love is more important than the grades. Because we think, oh, man, yeah, I love you, but you better not bring nothing lower than an A up in here.
Yeah.
You see? But I mean, it's a tough call. Are you going to love them when they don't? Yes. You going to love them any less if they don't? No. You going to love them the same.
And just along that note, you know, what about our wives being patient with us as we evolve into the head of household we need to be?
That's key.
Because if you look like a year ago, like 12 months ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, compared to where you are now as a head of household, it's been a constant, you know, progression. But if you look back, you know, if you look back 5 years ago, you were lower as far as being the head of your household, you know, than where you are today.
Yeah, I was like a good father and a provider.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's real talk.
That's it.
But she was patient enough to stick in there with your butt.
Yeah.
Because I guess,
see,
you know, yeah.
They see glimpse of excellence.
Yeah.
Glimpse. Like, okay, you know, it ain't right now, but I can see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because you show up every day. And you, and you try to be better. You know what I mean? You don't go out to be, you know, you try to be more patient. And you stop with the arguments and you stop with the tit for tat. And certain things, but certain things we have to learn these things. Because, again, we've all said this before, we weren't taught how to be husbands. We just looked at people and called them role models and said, well, we hope we can be like them. We all can't be like Bill Cosby on that show. It's just not going to happen. You know, because there's no manual. You look at that show and be like, that's the perfect husband, that's the perfect wife, that's the perfect life. Now, how do I get it? There's no cliff notes for that.
And just like you said, 5 years ago, you may have been a C student in your wife's eyes.
For sure.
But she knew you had the potential to be an A student.
Yeah, but did I apply it? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people die with potential.
Mm. Say that.
A lot of people in the grave, but they had potential. Oh, man, he could have been. There's a lot of people working right now, you know, at a job that they hate, but they had the potential. I could have been all pro. I mean, you hear the story. Yeah, I could have been all pro.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, you know. You know what happened. It didn't happen. But in marriage, we just don't have that, you know. In marriage, we just don't have the leverage. We don't have the time. Because you run out of time, you lose your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the will to fight for your marriage. Because you get defeated. But back to this personality thing, I had this question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, how important is it to maintain your personality during marriage? Okay, but I don't want to ask that no more. The question I want to ask now is, how important is it to change your personality during marriage?
Oh, now that's the way to close it up.
That's how we got to close it up.
And
you know,
I was thinking about this before the show tonight. and I thought of this question. Is sleep more important than your marriage?
No.
Because as I said before, you know, we got guys know about the show, you know about what we do, know about what we're about, but they got to go to sleep because they got to get up early in the morning. I respect that. But on the other hand, it's like, are you still going to go to sleep at 8 or 9 because you got to get up early and your marriage is failing? Is sleep more important than your marriage when you have the opportunity to be like, I'm going to just be tired on Wednesday, like I am, like we are every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday.
Just to make sure that my marriage doesn't fail? Or are you just going to be like, oh, well, it's 9 o'clock. I got to get up at 4 tomorrow. I mean, is sleep more important than your marriage? And that's back to your question. It's like, how much pride? I mean, like you said, we got to change. We got to evolve. You know, just like I gave the example, 5 years ago, you're not where you were 5 years ago today. And that's a great thing. I mean, the good thing is you move higher. But 5 years ago, you were, quote, unquote, a C student. Now, if we ask your wife, you might be a B+, might be a strong B.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I'm going to answer your question. Is sleep more important than your marriage? And my answer is 2112 Ashford Boulevard. And that represents the townhouse that I had to rent after I got divorced and to sleep alone.
Wow.
You had to find somebody to fill that void on a weekly basis, which is no fun. So, I mean, you can sleep or you can stay in that warm bed with her and make sure that it's all good and fine and dandy, or you can sleep and let it, you know, do what it's going to do. You know, yeah, we tired on Wednesdays, but we got to show up every Tuesday regardless because, you know, people want to talk about these issues.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, people want to talk about these issues. Yeah. So, again, back to the topic, if marriage had a personality, what would it be?
I say multiple, man. Multiple personalities.
Multiple, yeah.
Too many to count, too many to name.
Too many to count.
It's going to be sometimes.
You got to be flexible. Sometimes.
Yeah, you got to be flexible, no doubt.
Yeah. You know, you can't be that guy, you know, that goes to the company outing with your wife at job and be like, well, I'm just going to chill right here. You know, just let me, you know, I'm going to sit down here and I'll wait for you to get done so we can leave. No, you got to get in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get in the mix.
So I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it so easy for men to be flexible outside the home than flexible inside? If you have a personality, you know, where you do a lot of community service, and, you know, that's your thing. That's what you enjoy. But your wife enjoys time with you. Isn't that a conflict of interest?
It absolutely is, because as my mother used to always say, charity starts at home. Charity starts at home. But, I mean, we see it every day. I mean, we see it every day where, you know, that guy's doing backflips at the YMCA. But his wife never sees him. His own kids, you know, not unless they're at the Y with him, he's not doing homework with them, or, you know, riding bikes or throwing the ball or whatever, ballet or whatever it is. He's always with somebody else's kids. And it's unfortunate, you know, to your question, but the key to that is, like I said, well, my mother always, charity starts at home. And once you got that under control, you know, go ahead, brother.
So I answer that question about why it's easy, I think, sometimes to do things outside the home.
Yeah.
Because outside the home, it's easier for you to receive the balance that is afforded you or the due process. I think sometimes what it comes down to is it's not about winning or losing. It's about just balance.
Mm.
You know, I've said many times on this call, you know, I'll drive the nail through the board and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I think I've evolved somewhat. It's not necessarily or matured somewhat. It's not necessarily so much about driving that point home. It's just, let's just make it right, you know. And I think then it's never about anybody winning or losing. It's just, what are our expectations? What are our priorities as a family? What are the rules that we have in place for this house? And what can we do in order to make sure that we follow them? Adjust accordingly, but by all means maintain balance. And with that balance being in place, no one ever wins, no one ever loses. It's just that we know if we push here, we've got to pull there, and vice versa. I think sometimes outside of the home, it's really easy for that to occur. You know that if you push here, you will have to pull and make up somewhere else, just like we said just a second ago. You're on the call right now. It's late. You know what you got to do tomorrow at work in order to get through the day and still be successful and productive. You're going to do it. That's the bottom line, because you're going to balance it out and you're going to do what's necessary. But I think what becomes difficult, you know, sometimes in the home front is that balance is all over the place, because it's so much easier to say personality this, personality that. But in the workplace, it's not about personality. It's about productivity. Yeah, we do all the HR things and all these things about development and understanding people. But at the end of the day, if you ain't producing, you out the door. And I think that's the difference, is that you're willing to definitely do what you need to do at your job or at these other places in order to maintain that balance. Whereas sometimes it becomes very hard to do that if things aren't balanced out in the home front to that same degree.
And that's good words, brother, but I think you missed it.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, go ahead, P-Town.
I think to add to that is also is that as men growing up, as young boys, I think it's installed in us. We expect some type of greeting after we do something. I guess that's the word I'm trying to say. We expect somebody to say, great job, compliment, you know,
mm-hmm.
pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
You're the man.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say, B-Town.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do a whole lot inside and outside the home. Now you get your cooking, you get your love, and but you never get the you the man.
And it almost comes easy.
Why haven't you taken out the trash?
Yeah, it almost comes easy. Seems like it comes easier from outside the home. That encouragement and those accolades. And that's exactly what I was going to add. You know, is that at home, it's just like it's more of what you haven't done for me lately than what you do on the regular and on a consistent basis. But I do want to correct you too, brother, because you said that you and I quote, you said you've evolved somewhat. You probably don't even realize how much you've evolved, because I see you on here consistently. You've been on tonight for almost 2 hours, and this is the first time you said anything all night. Whereas when you first got on, we couldn't shut you up. You know, we spent many nights with you, and we know we had to go to work, and you know, literally it's 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, we still, you know, just hashing it out. And you remember, you know,
yep.
Whereas now, you know, you've evolved to the point, just like I said early in the show, that I could not do. You've been sitting here absorbing all this stuff for 2 hours without saying anything, and it's been perfectly fine. You know,
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just you've evolved more than somewhat.
Yeah, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Evolved well.
Exactly.
Good stuff, too.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
Man, I appreciate everybody who gets on this thing, because, well, you hit some doorbells tonight. You're going to hit some doorbells tonight. I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man. I ring my own doorbell.
Yeah. You're over here in my house, too, man.
Yeah. I ring my own doorbell and something, you know, and we're all talking and something just hit me. And it's a mistake. And I can't blame this on nobody. Because I used to have the relationship with my wife that I would speak to her like one of the fellas and vice versa. And it would, and that's just we. Whatever I could say to y'all, I could say to her. And recently it hasn't been that way. And I don't know why. Maybe I just felt not comfortable or whatever the case may be. But I need to get back to that. Back to that point. Treating her like, you know, like just the way we were in the beginning. Like there was nothing I couldn't tell her. And now, and I don't know, maybe it's just I'm getting older or getting set in my ways or whatever the case may be, but I need to get back to that part of my marriage where the communication is just fluid and easy, you know. And, yeah, we've had problems recently, you know, and that may have something to do with it, but I can't let that change, you know, the makeup of what we have established coming this far.
I tell you, you know, just looking back over this thing, I tell you, you know, my wife was just the opposite. You know, I get on here and I, you know, talk it up, yap it up with you guys, and I go to talk to her the same way. And she was like, I ain't one of your boys. Don't talk to me like that. But I mean, again, you know, it goes back to, you know, what we said earlier is that it's different variances to the personalities, and, you know, like you said, you know, you got to get back to, hey, you know, just not just talking about everything, you know,
everything.
just like one of the fellas, or, you know, not necessarily like that, but, you know, it was a few occasions where I would lay it on my wife, and she's like, look, bro, I ain't one of your boys, man. I'm your wife. I was like, oh, okay. Took some getting used to.
Yeah. But that's a privilege, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a privilege. I think one day she'll appreciate that and be like, you know what, go ahead. Talk to me about anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that, and there's a certain comfort level. And I've lost it, and I got to get it back. But there's a certain comfort level when you can go with your wife that way. And you tried it. You were like, well, you know what, I want to share these same good feelings and conversations with her. You know what I mean? And it just didn't, I don't know, just didn't work to your liking. But
I modified my approach. That's all I did.
Gotcha.
You know, where I was using the exact same approach, you know, approach with y'all as with her. She was like, what? You know, wait a minute. I understand where you're coming from. I understand you want to share these things, but you know, I am a woman. I am your wife.
Yeah.
Now, you know, so I just modified my approach, but I was able to get across, you know, those things that before I really couldn't. I wasn't comfortable with sharing those things.
Yeah. But now you are.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. You know, you ready and I've lost mine, so I got to get my you know, and I'm not going to blame nobody. Again, it's me, you know, just certain times we go through things, you know, and we forget, you know, the stepping stones that we use to get to certain places, certain destinations. We forget how we got here, you know. Like the record, you know, you wake up in a beautiful house next to a beautiful wife and you ask yourself, wow, how did I get here? You know, but you did it. You know, we got ourselves here, but now we need to, you know, well, for me, I got to get back to that common ground that we were both comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But good words.
Great words, brother.
Words. Peyton, yes, you have evolved, my brother, big time. For sure. Anyway, so anybody got anything else on the personalities? If marriage had a personality, what would it be?
I don't. I have something for open mic for Peyton, if he could stay on for just a few seconds.
Okay, well, open mic it is. Give me 1 second. Microphone checker, 1, 2, checker.